Hey, this is Kari Payton. I'm Cyborg from Teen Titans and Injustice 2.
And Ezekiel from The Walking Dead. And you're listening to The Night Nerd. So keep listening.
Also, booyah! Because I'm schizophrenic.
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Thursday, so we're going to talk a little bit of history. All week, we've been celebrating cooking. We lost Anthony Bourdain earlier this week, and pretty big loss, pretty rough, and a lot of people hard. And so in his honor and in his sense of life and living, because, you know, he was always bringing people together with food and stuff, we've been talking about food and cooking and whatnot. But today, I thought we'd kind of take a step back and look at the man himself and kind of his journey, where he started off and, you know, everything he did to become the literal force of nature that he was. So influential on modern cooking and the way we interpret food, TV shows, everything like that. But he was born June 25th, 1956 in New York City. He was the oldest of two sons, and his dad was an executive at Columbia Records, and his mom was a staff editor for the New York Times. And he grew up most of his childhood in New Jersey. And you've probably seen his little brother, Christopher. He's a currency analyst. He showed up on almost all of his shows, actually. And his father's side was Catholic, and his mother's side was Jewish, but he said that there wasn't a whole lot of religion in their house. And his father's parents were French, and that's where a lot of his inspiration and stuff comes, because growing up, they would go to France a lot of summers, you know, in between school and things. And while he was over there is when he really kind of developed his love for food. He said he first, you know, just really got to love food when he had his first oyster on a fisherman's boat when he was young, and they were on a trip in France. And that, kind of from that moment on, he realized, you know, he loved food and all sorts of food. And I think that's really cool. You know, I think it is important to expose kids to a lot of things. We cook almost all the time here at home, but we always, I mean, anything from lamb to vegan to smoked briskets, I mean, Mexican food, Italian food, and because whatever my kids, you know, say, hey, that may sound kind of good, we try it. And that's why I have a two-year-old who eats bell peppers and broccoli like it's going out of style. You know, it's really important, and that's something that throughout his life he would always kind of preach, is that palate and exploration of food is something that, you know, everyone really needs to explore. And he would graduate from high school, and then he would enroll in Vassar College, but would drop out after a couple of years. And then he would go to work, kind of during this time, a little bit later, he worked in a bunch of seafood restaurants around Massachusetts. And that's, he was like, you know, I'm not going to do this school thing. I'm going to go into cooking. I want to be around food. I want to be a chef. And so he went to the Culinary Institute of America and graduated there in 1978. And he ran a lot of restaurants over the years, in New York especially. There was the Supper Club, 15th Avenue, and Sullivan's were some of the more notable ones, some of the bigger ones. And then in 98, he became executive chef at Brasserie Le Hall in Manhattan. And they had other restaurants, you know, in like Tokyo, D.C., and Miami. and he would remain the chef there for a long time. Even when he actually didn't work there, he had such a good relationship with them that they called him their chef at large. So he was almost like a brand ambassador for them, and you know, always, you know, he knew that that was where he made his mark. That's where he hit his stride and learned everything and really became the chef that he is. So he always was loyal to that place. You know, we talk time and time again on the show about Dance with Who Brought You, and he, you know, definitely recognized that and followed it. But he wasn't just a chef. He also did a lot of writing. His first book was, big book was Kitchen Confidential, Adventures in the Culinary Underbelly, and that came out in 2000. And it was kind of a spin-off, sequel, expansion, whatever you want to call, to an article he wrote the year before for The New Yorker called Don't Eat Before Reading This. And then he'd make an actual sequel to the book called Medium Raw, A Bloody Valentine to the World of Food and the People Who Cook. It came out way later in 2010. But in between that, he did a whole lot of other stuff. He wrote another nonfiction book called The Cook's Tour. And that was all about his food and his travels around the world. And that was the name of his first TV series. Then in 2006, he wrote The Nasty Bits, which was just a collection of essays and things. He also wrote a cookbook, Bone in the Throat and Gone Bamboo, which were culinary mysteries. Typhoid Mary, an urban historical, was a hypothetical historical investigation. And he also had No Reservations, Around the World on an Empty Stomach, which would be another one of his shows. Like we talked about, he wrote essays and stuff, and a lot of them appeared, you know, in the New York, in the New Yorker, the New York Times, the Times of London, LA Times, Maxim, Esquire, The Face, Best Life, Town and Country, all of these things. Even he wrote a blog for the third season of Top Chef, and it was nominated for a bunch of Webby Awards and things. And he even wrote for DC Comics. There was he had an original graphic novel called Get Hero, and that was in 2012, and then in 2015 there was Get Hero Blood and Sushi. So, you know, he's definitely done a whole lot of different types of writing and stuff. And then on the television side, you know, that's where most people were exposed to him. He had a Cook's Tour that ran from 2002 to 2003 on Food Network, and then he had No Reservations on Travel Channel, which ran from 2005 to 2012. So a long, long time there. Then he had The Layover, also on Travel Channel, which just ran from 11 to 13. It was a little bit different, but it was really neat. It was, to me, it was a very practical show, because it's like, hey, if you're stuck in a town for a day and a half, this is everything you can do. And it was really good. Then he had Parts Unknown, which was on CNN from 2013 till this year. They actually announced that they were going to finish airing all the finished episodes and just finish everything out so we can see the final episodes. And that show did a lot of cool things. One of the most famous ones that did episodes was where Anthony and President Barack Obama ate together in Vietnam, and really nobody knew. I was watching some documentaries about it, like when it came out, and like CNN didn't really know, not a lot of people at the White House knew. It was kind of a surprise that they planned together, and I thought that was really neat. And yeah, he just has done so much. You could go on and on, and he's had, you know, battles with other chefs, and then he's like helped praise and build up some chefs. He's just done so much. And Mind of a Chef is on Netflix. He executive produced and was the narrator for it. It's phenomenal. It's really, really good. I highly recommend it. He showed up on Archer. You know, he's just kind of been everywhere. He was even on Yo Gabba Gabba in Miami Ink. So this guy was a man of many hats, and I think that that's really cool. You know, he did so much over the years, and he's definitely gonna be missed. But that's it. Let us know kind of what your favorite Anthony Bourdain show was. You can let us know in the comments below here on SoundCloud or on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, everywhere. Just look for The Night Nerd. You can also email me, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. I love hearing from everybody. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. That way you get not only my show, but you also get DC Animated Adventures twice a week and Blah Blah Comics, Blah Blah Curse Words, our super long show. Not super long. It's anywhere from like an hour to two. But they break down, you know, comics, pop culture, movies, everything like that. It's definitely a lot of fun. Get all of those. On a more serious note, like I said, since we are celebrating Anthony Bourdain, even someone who has a life like this, you know, still struggles and suffers from depression. If you have, you know, troubles or struggle with depression or anything like that, please reach out to somebody. If you feel like you can't talk to friends and family, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Reach out to them. Reach out to us. I mean, you know, just talk. We'll do anything we can, everything we can to help. There are people there for you. There are people that love you. So please do. You're important. Your life is important. Everyone is. So again, that's it. I'm Lance. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. I took a walk through this beautiful world, felt the cool rain.